Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and McKenna, are back. And today, sorry, my throat is all weird now. Today, we are recapping week 7 of Australian Survivor, Brains vs. Braun 2, episodes 19 and 20. I have no idea what just happened there on that intro. I took a deep breath beforehand. I did everything I was supposed to do. And then still halfway through, was like, yeah, I was like, wow, I'm about to die here. I did just devour my lunch in like under 5 minutes to get here on time. But at the same time, I didn't think that it was going to come out like that. That was crazy. thank you for being here. Hope you're all excited. I'm going to start this podcast by saying I don't watch these episodes till Monday. So please stop spoiling them in all of the comments and in all of the chats for every single podcast I do. My goodness, give me a second. I don't wake up on Sunday morning and say, wow, like instead of talking to my wife or taking my dog out or getting a glass of water, the first thing I'm going to do is watch Australian Survivor last night. I was spoiled on what happened in episode number 19, which is really frustrating because I can't properly now discuss how I think it was going to play out because literally the first podcast I do, I had like six people being like, sorry about Logan. It's like, well, sorry about Logan. I didn't know. So give me a second. Like, don't be doing – I have Gabe on Saturday, this Saturday at noon. If somehow you know what happens on the Sunday and Monday episode on Saturday, please, for the love of God, keep it to yourself. That is my pitch. Because I almost drooled on myself to start this podcast, I need to come in hot so I can redeem myself. Yeah, and so here's me coming in hot. Give me a second. My God. Anyway, what a bunch of hoopla for nothing. For nothing. Boo.
Boo. tomato.
Rafters. Boo. Now I'm saying raptors instead of rafters. McKenna, what was your take on this fake rock draw BS?
So I saw that Logan had gone. I didn't know which of the two episodes Logan went home on, but I just hated that the girls folded and went with Logan. I know she also said it's okay, like just vote me out, it's fine, but at the same time they have to know they're drawing dead. Mm-hmm. So their best shot is to go out by a rock.
And that was my biggest thing. AJ is playing a masterful game. I need to say that right off the bat when we get into this, because AJ's playing a masterful game and his pitch of, do you truly think I will never work with you? I've been all over the place. I've worked with every one of you. I've said I would. Do you truly believe that it's worth you going home at this rock draw when you know that I could work with you next episode? I'm willing. I'm still open to working with you. And that pitch ultimately worked because AJ is playing this game so well. AJ is doing such a great job of explaining his game, of making relationships with people, of allowing himself to be in control, but take steps back when it is necessary to do so. This pitch never should have worked. But again, we're watching this, watching the edited version. When we see Logan go home and we say, wow, Kristen, Morgan, and Kate are on the wrong side of that. I wonder if the three people that I don't think Morgan's had a confessional since I was like 14 years old. I wonder if the three people that we haven't heard from are going to get wiped out one by one after AJ and Kaylin and Miles and Zara all stick together here. Terrible editing. Can't help myself. Got to take my shots where I can, because all of you who are like, Australian Survivor's editing is so much better than US. Like, take a hike. Get out of here. It's a joke. But when you watch this take place, I truly feel that Logan was our last shot at not seeing an AJ or Miles winner. And I know I took some flack on social media and in the comments of like, Phil, Logan's not going to win. I understand that my expectations for Logan to win were very low, but would you like a podcast that's 45 minutes long of me just being like, and here is why AJ and Miles will win? No discussion, McKenna. I just punched my mic. No discussion, McKenna, about any alternatives. We must only say the one thing that is most likely to happen and then be disregarded. For you Genevieve stans who insisted she was going to win last year and yelled at me when I was an idiot for that, you're the ones who are coming at me hard now. Just be quiet. We all remember. I kept the receipts. I have screenshots. Leave me alone. I'm going to talk both sides. But Logan feels like the last chance that we had of AJ or Miles not winning this game.
It's all right. I'll be here to be like, Kalen is winning the game.
No way. Do you want the specialist moniker to be still attached to your name, McKenna? Come on. I mean, the thing with Kalen is, why has Kalen not gotten a bigger edit?
No, I get it. No, I feel like it's silly to not give Kalen a bigger edit because he, when we do hear from him, he is saying good things, smart things. You know, he's not that kind of bimbo giving these confessionals either. He might come off a little bit like that on the island because he's putting up this front, but he's a PhD student. He's got some brains in his head. And I think that, like, it was a disservice to the audience that they didn't show Kalen more. Did they, you know, not want to push him so much because they wanted Miles and AJ more? Well, they've shoved those two down our throats. It's okay if we cough a little on Kalen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing with Kalen that's so interesting to me is what he's now won 5 immunities. So he ties Brooke's record.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Dominant Alliance. And yet I think he has 20 confessionals the whole season. Like, I think that's all he has, which is absurd because Kalen should be being set up as a,
like, robbed a, or.
Yeah. And you know, the way I'm looking at it, Jairo De Garcia, who's been saying this all season, Phil, are we setting up a first Australian Survivor all male final three since Survivor Nicaragua? Kalen is a Fabio archetype player that wins immunity record. I don't see Kalen making the final tribal council. In my opinion, we're going to have a final two. And it's going to be AJ versus Miles, and Kalen is going to be the fallen god there at third, or potentially Zara gets third, and Kalen goes home the first time he loses immunity. I don't see Kalen getting to final tribal because why would Kalen not get the votes? He's the most likable of them by far. He's going to set the immunity record or at least tie it at worst. He still has like 4 immunities left to break that record, though, if he were to make it to the end. Mm-hmm. He's super likable. He's very good at explaining his game. He's very good at explaining what the issues are and what's working for him and what's not. So in my opinion, 0% chance he makes the final tribal council because he would win.
There's no way that he can touch the final tribal council because you're right. I think he does have enough rapport with that jury to gain votes or be able to talk them into giving him some votes. So I think it would be crazy for them to let Kalen get that far. But at the same time, like, I feel like if it was a final three and Zara was in there on with the final three, the two guys just steamroller, even though she does have some strategy and some moves to back herself up. But I think they just like run her over with bus.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel too. I mean, I think that the women on the jury are going to look at Zara as a traitor. They're going to look at her as a backstabber. They're not going to look at her as having her own agency in the game. And I think ultimately that's why she has no chance of winning at this point. What's really fascinating to me is if we do get an AJ versus Miles final two, this could go the way of Ghost Island. Not saying a tie, but I'm saying that everybody always says with Ghost Island, it's so predictable, Dom and Wendell were dominating. But we never knew who was going to win out of Dom and Wendell. The edit was like perfect the entire time for the two of them. We just knew they were going to steamroll the entirety of that cast. This feels like it could be going that same route of if AJ and Miles both get to the end, I actually don't know who they're going to respect more and who would ultimately pull it out. I think it would be AJ. I think that's just mainly because we've never really seen somebody like Miles win. But I do agree with you that if Zara were to get there, they're just going to look at her and say, no way. No way. Yeah.
I think she does have she left a bad taste in a few people's mouths. But, you know, I feel like she does have a case, just not against those two.
Yeah.
But
that's who she's setting herself up to go with.
No, I know.
She doesn't have a case against him either.
She should have flipped here to go with the girls. It was insane. But I think we're looking at like AJ being like the Dom and Miles being the Wendell, where I think Miles has a little bit more likability than AJ does. And hasn't maybe wronged as many people and kind of has always said, you know, these are my lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could actually see that being reversed though, where like, I feel like AJ is more of the quiet, reserved, talk to everybody, and Miles is the in your face. And I could see people getting really tired of Miles's in your face mentality. Remember, Dom loses because of the way he talks about Sebastian and how he boots Sebastian. And that's why he ultimately loses, because Sebastian, though we barely saw him on our screens, he was very well respected by that jury. And that's ultimately what cost Dom in that season. So I could see Miles, like, with, you know, his idol plays, he's very showy. I could see that really driving people crazy.
As long as he doesn't bash Kaylin, then he should be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Phil Solomon here coming straight off of his, he just did his modeling. I don't know if that was his breakthrough, his first one, but I just saw the modeling with the shoes all over Instagram. So Phil Solomon from Deal or No Deal. Look at that baby face in that picture. never thought I'd actually be rooting for AJ, but the gameplay is respectable. No one trusts him, but somehow everyone trusts him. Somebody had posted to Shannon Gates. They had said to her, it's something like, he's almost playing like a Sarah Lucina type game, mm-hmm. where Sarah Lucina was, everybody thought they were Sarah Lucina's number one.
Yep.
And therefore they all defended Sarah Lucina. Mm-hmm. And so you had Troyzan, you had Brad, you had Ty, you had Aubrey, you had Suri. They all felt like they were close with Sarah. And I think that that's a good comparison, because the way that we are seeing AJ play right now, a couple weeks ago, I think it was just last week, we thought Morgan, Kate, AJ, and Miles might be the alliance. And now he's immediately turning on Morgan and Kate, who he built all that time in the first couple episodes post-merge of getting to know better and do things with. And now he's just thrown them out to the wayside and said, you guys have no chance. So I do think he is playing a very good game where Kaylin thinks that that's his number one. Miles thinks that that's his number one. Zara thinks that's his number one. Pretty much everybody except for the people on the jury right now all thought that they were AJ's number one at one point or another. And you could even make the argument that maybe Karin did think she was AJ's number one.
At one point at the swap for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting to watch AJ maneuver the game, because a lot of times, you know, I'm turned off by this dominant of a game, but you're right. I liked Sarah's game in Game Changers. So likening that to AJ's game, like, puts in perspective why I like AJ's game here and can put the respect, you know, toward how he is playing, because he is just like, he's so out in front and a target, but also everybody knows that he's a target, so it diminishes his threat level, but the threat level is still there. It's like this weird conundrum of how they view him.
Well, he's playing a similar game to what Tony did, where Tony was unapologetically himself the entire time. He was on the right cast, though. He was on a cast that included somebody like Cass, who knew that she probably had to sit next to Tony to win. It included somebody like Spencer, who was always on the wrong side of numbers. You had a Trish who was willing to go to the end with Tony. Like, you had so much going on here with Tony in that season that you would have thought he's going to be the first boot. And I thought AJ was going to be the first boot. Now it looks like AJ might be the favorite to win. Although Miles, I'm certainly not counting out by any means. Mm-hmm. I just think that he is kind of playing unapologetically himself. And I think he does a very good job. Like, when he was talking to Morgan and Kate, and Morgan got mad at him and it was like, well, we don't need to have this conversation. You're not going to listen to us anyway. We've already decided on a name. And she goes to walk away. He's like, okay, that's fair. Walk away. That's good. Whatever. Like, he stays so calm and cool the entire time. He doesn't meet other people on their level of frustration and anger and stuff. And that has been the best part of his game. Look, we don't know Morgan at all. If Morgan walked by me on the street, I'd be like, what does your voice sound like? I recognize you, but can you please speak so I know what you sound like? Because I haven't heard from you on Australian Survivor. But we are seeing AJ manage that relationship and not worry about am I pissing her off too much? Because at the end of the day, he probably got Morgan a couple spots further than she should have gotten. He can make that argument when he gets the final tribal council.
Yeah.
So for me, the Rock draw was a total dud because AJ and Miles were both willing to do it. And they're both so psychotic that they were going to do it. And Adam Klein said it during Millennials vs. Gen X. You have to convince the other side that you're not budging and make them be the ones who budge. You don't budge because if you budge, if you're the one who's wavering, then you could get somebody else on the other side who wavers and then you're at a tie anyway. And you want to make sure you keep the side. They push their button so bad. And Hyrule over here said there's the potential that some of them were recruited and didn't actually know what a rock draw was because it hasn't happened in Australian Survivor yet, I suppose. So they don't actually know what the rock draw entails. And that's why it was so easy to flip them. But for me, it's like, this was your moment. This was the final six of Blood versus Water. This was the, if you get through this with the numbers, you win. If you don't, you're done.
And they were throwing out odds. Like, odds are one of you is going home because Kaylin's immune here. So it's only myself and AJ needing to pull a rock. And they're, like you said, if they didn't know how rocks works, then they're thinking like, oh crap, I have a higher chance of going home. Maybe I just, you know, press my luck because AJ now has just said that he could work with me and that it's possible. So I didn't think the rock draw would work until like the revote where I was like, oh, it's still deadlocked. Like,
yeah,
I thought someone was flipping on the revote.
Yeah. No, I wasn't sure what was going to happen either because then I was thinking there was going to be a flip on the Revo. But what AJ and Miles also did very wisely here is they picked Logan, who the other three weren't that connected to. Mm-hmm. If they had picked Morgan or Kate, I think there's more of a likelihood of, no, I'm not budging and you're going to have to go to rocks. They did a good job with the percentages, but here's the way you have to look at it. And I understand that you're risking your game at Final Eight. Maybe they don't realize it at this point, but Morgan, Kate, and Kristen were all drawing dead. The only way they win is if they go to the final tribal council next to each other. So what that means is you have to get to the final tribal council with those people. You can't go to final tribal with the others, and you can't go to the final tribal with Logan because Logan had enough friends over there on the jury. Yeah. So when you sit there and you watch this take place, even though it's a 60-40 chance, you win this and you take out one of the biggest players in the game, hands down, no questions asked, because Zara is safe. Kaylin is safe. So it's either Miles or AJ going home. So yes, I understand that you have a 60% chance of going home, but you are making sure that if you do pull this, Miles or AJ are the one going home. That's worth the risk, in my opinion, because Miles and AJ are running this game. And especially if you can get Miles here or something like that, that would be really, really beneficial. So I think that they probably should have gone and there should have been one holdout. But at the same time, if I'm sitting at Final Eight and I feel like I can win, I don't know the edit. I don't see what's going to happen. I don't have the future. I mean, when we're watching this edited show, the editors already know who win. So we don't know who's going to win the game. So maybe I don't want to draw rocks at Final Eight. Maybe I say I'll take my chances. But also, I would like to think that I'm not putting myself in the position where at Final Eight, if one vote goes wrong, I'm literally drawing dead with zero chance the rest of the game.
Yeah. And if you know, randomly get out Miles, then, I mean, they don't know it, but we do. Then you get out the idol as well, and the idol gets put back into the game.
Yeah. 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 And Miles is the one who's really having all the success with finding the idols. So,
though AJ did say, like, I'll tell Miles how to use this one correctly again. It's really my idol.
Yeah. Yeah, but so AJ.
AJ's had some influence on Miles's idol, so it'll be interesting to watch that battle at Final Tribal Council if it happens where they bring up all the idols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. So let's talk about this second one, this second episode here, and this second vote, because I think this was so bad. I thought this was just like terrible, terrible gameplay on Zara's part.
100%.
How is Zara winning the game if she goes to the end with these three? How is she winning? How does she think that she has all the female jurors on her side? Is that what she's thinking at this point?
She can't possibly, because she knows she did Laura wrong. Thus, she did Logan wrong. She thinks she 100% has Karin's vote. But where does Paulie lie? Where did the other people left in the game, like Kristen, Morgan, and Kate, aren't going to go with her now because she screwed them over and didn't go to their side. So where, I don't know where she thinks her votes are coming from, but it's not the jury.
Well, because my thinking is this. You say she has 100% has Karin's vote. Karin voted for her at the boot that Karin went home.
Or so, I guess she's Karin. She has the most likely shot to get Karin's vote out of, you know, Pauly. You know, I don't know where Pauly would go. It probably would go toward Miles.
Yeah, I think that this was really, really, really weak. Because
then she could take credit for a lot of the graduate votes had she gone with the Braun girls and move forward. She could take credit for a lot of things, and then she becomes kind of the front runner powerhouse situation. She could also try and cut one of them after they cut two more, like Miles and AJ. Her and Kaylin could cut one of Morgan, Kristen, or Kate.
Well, and that's the thing here, right? Like, if she's Miles got the other votes, if she votes Miles out of the game, AJ has nobody to turn to. He's in trouble. Kaylin keeps winning immunities. So she can team up with the two of them at the next one and vote out one of the girls on the other side if she wants to. Maybe she was just concerned that because they were three original Braun, they were all going to work together and ultimately she was going to get fourth place. To me, it feels like she's getting fourth
place.
She's
getting fourth place either way.
Like she's on the wrong side of both of these. Maybe she makes the argument of, well, Kaylin's really good at challenges. Once he loses one, let's make sure we get him out of the game. But I feel like this was just the wrong move. And maybe it's, again, because we have so much information. But Miles and AJ are confrontational. They're antagonistic. They might not be loved by the jury, but their gameplay is going to be respected. And I just watched Brains vs. Braun 1. I finished it. So now for the Patreon, McKenna and I have one more episode to record. But I finished the episode. And what I did discover watching that one is the Australian Survivor players do tend to respect the gameplay more than you would think. Because I thought George was drawing dead going into that. I know George doesn't win, but I thought he was drawing dead going into that. And I think had he had a better tribal council responses to some of those players, he barely easily could have won that game. They weren't coming in saying, George, we hate you. You play too aggressively. You were a dick to us. We're done. There were ways that he could have won that game. And so that's how I feel here of like AJ and Miles could have pissed off everybody. But at the end of the day, if they sit down at that final tribal council next to Zara, next to Kaylin, next to Kate, Morgan, it doesn't matter. Whoever they sit down next to, they can say, this is why we made the decisions that we made. We were having fun out here. You all knew the rules when you came out. You all knew what the game was going to be. Are you really not going to respect three correct idol plays because I hurt your feelings sometimes? I was on the bottom. You should have wanted to work with me earlier and I wouldn't have had to be in that position.
Yeah.
And if you're AJ, it's, I had to make sure I cut all of you before you all cut me. Are you really going to vote for Zara, who couldn't even like take a stance one way or the other? That's not going to happen. So I feel that Zara made the wrong move. And look, if she comes out winning $500,000 after this, then I am totally wrong. And apologies to Zara. But from what I'm watching right now, this was the last chance to end this game for Miles and AJ. And I think it's totally over now. I think the boot order is very predictable because Kristen went home, who was pretty much not there. Morgan and Kate are going to be the next two to go unless Kaylin, they decide he lost immunity. Yep. So let's boot him. But if that's not the case, I think Kaylin is either third or fourth. Zara is the other one. And then I think the final two is AJ and Miles. I don't think there's any drama. And if AJ and Miles sit at final tribal alone with somebody else, the one of them that sits there will win this game.
Yeah, exactly. I want the fireworks though of the Miles AJ, because then I think we go into token sheens where it's like either of them are equally matched at winning the game, and it's who can pitch themselves better. And I'd like to see them try and throw each other under the bus when they were working in such lockstep, even if they were like faking that, oh, we're not working together, but deep down they were working together the entire time.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the thing. They've kept their alliance at a distance, right? They know what they're doing. They know that they're never going to vote for each other, but they're not working so closely together that people are worrying about them as a duo. And they say that in this episode, they're doing a very, very good job of balancing that and saying like, it's all good. We just need to make sure that we don't step on each other's toes and make sure we look out for each other, but we're not working as in lockstep as it seems. I think that's been very impressive.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen a duo play quite like that, where it's like, we are working together no matter what, but one of our sides, you know, may take hits here and there, and that'll be okay. But I'll let you know if you're going home. You let me know if I'm going home, and we work around that.
Because I think it's one of the more interesting strategies we've seen. I feel like this is like a redefining of some of this game, because so often you brought up Token Chain, JT and Steven, they make their decisions together, right? Like so often, if you're in an alliance with somebody, you're making decisions with them. And if you leave them out, they get pissed. It's wild that these two ended up on the same tribe to start, that you got these two types of personalities to be on the same tribe. But like, they just are in unison of it's okay. You go do your thing. I'm going to go do mine. I mean, I talked about that conversation last week of, well, I have a thing. You have a thing. Kaylin's like, well,
we all have things.
That was confusing. So I truly think that we're sitting up for both of them to be at the final, because at this point, Morgan cannot sit at Final Tribal Council. We know that. It just based on how Australian Survivor has edited previous seasons, they would not put somebody with as small of an edit as Morgan at Final Tribal Council. There's no way. I think coming into this week, she had 7 confessionals, and I don't think she got one.
So the the only possible Braun, I think, is Kate to sit at Kate. Final. Mm-hmm.
I think Morgan is probably going home next. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm more saying is, how do they flip this, right? Is it because Zara now goes and works with the women? Okay, well, at best, she makes it 3-3. I don't think AJ and Miles would be willing to get rid of Kaylin at this moment and give the women the numbers at Final 5. I just don't see it happening. Yeah. So to me, there's going to be all this talk about, oh, we should get rid of Kaylin. He's so good at challenges, blah, blah, blah. And then that's going to turn into, okay, he might have lost the immunity, but we need to get rid of one of those Braun girls because they're too close to each other. Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of Morgan, or let's get rid of Kate, probably Morgan. And now we're down to the final 5. AJ and Miles have the numbers.
Immunity at 5 is what the thing is. Kate could win immunity at the 5. So
anybody, but even if Kate doesn't win immunity at 5, I could still see Miles and AJ saying, let's boot Kaylin at 5 as long as he doesn't win the immunity, even if it's one of them who wins it. Because then Kaylin goes home. Now you're at Final 4. Zara's definitely closer with you. Now you boot Kate. Now you're at Final 3 with Zara and Miles and AJ. That's how I really see it going here.
I do feel like it's risky for Miles and AJ to go with each other, in the sense of like, what Gary was saying, whoever wins final immunity, boot AJ, or if AJ wins, boot Miles. It's risky in that sense of like, you are that person's number one competition. Why wouldn't you go home there?
I also feel like, though, if Miles wins that final immunity challenge, I think he takes AJ with him.
I think he's cocky enough to think that he could win.
Yes. And I think that Miles would love to sit next to AJ at this final tribal council and make his case against AJ. I 100% think that would happen.
Do you think AJ boots Miles then?
No, I don't. But I don't think AJ can win it. But no, I think AJ actually probably would take Miles with him. I think that they're on even playing fields and have played a very similar game. I think if you're AJ and Miles, again, we're looking at it because we're watching the edited show. But if you're out there, you might think you have good relationships over on that jury, but you do get scared if you sit next to Zara at the end. Because if the women decide, you know what, we're just going to vote for Zara, even though she's made more enemies, that is frightening. Mm-hmm. Kaylin is frightening to sit next to. He's very well liked. So to me, you probably want to sit next to each other at the end. That might give you your best chance of winning.
It's like the China strategy of sit next to people who have done the same thing.
Yeah. And just hope that you can explain it better than them. And I do think that AJ would ultimately explain it better at the final tribal council, because I do think that his relationships are a little bit more authentic. I think that Miles, as crazy as it is, I think Miles has annoyed people more than AJ has throughout this game.
Because I think AJ is making more personal relationships, where Miles is just like running through the game a little bit more. But at the same time, like, AJ has broken personal relationships as well. So I don't know what people would value more, maybe some more of the game moves that Miles makes, and then the personal hits are more, you know, grand in AJ's case, or what. I think it'll be interesting to see what this jury values, because I do think a lot of them value that gameplay that Miles and AJ both have, but does Miles' lack of personal connection or AJ's over personal connection, like, where does that play into it?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, will people be more hurt than by him by AJ, because AJ is the one who's ultimately like broken their hearts more, you know,
right.
Put it that way. Yeah, what's kind of a bummer is, so you and I were talking about it. We thought that it was 3 weeks left, and then, or we thought it was 2 weeks left, 3 episodes per week. And then it ends up being 3 weeks left, 2 episodes per week. I do think it's a bummer that we're getting the 2 episodes now, because I think that there's so much less going on. There's really no drama. And maybe I'm being dramatic about this as we come into this. It's the first Australian Survivor season that I've watched live, but to me, it doesn't feel like there's much drama now that Logan just went out at 8. And I think that this would have been a good time for an 8-7-6. Just get because if you come in next week and your first boot is Morgan and your next boot is Kate, that's a rough 2 hours of Survivor, man. It's a rough.
Yeah, I feel like they do it differently at like every season where they start going to 2 episodes. Like, I think Blood versus Water goes to 2 episodes. Around the merge, maybe a few votes into the merge, something like that. And then you still have exciting boots and things like that where it drops down and extends the season. But I do feel like it's weird right here at the last 6 episodes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh crap, we need to extend a week. My bad.
Yeah. It's really bad for my timing too, because I'm driving to the Ron Clark event next Tuesday. Or not next Tuesday, but the finale Tuesday. So I thought we were going to be in the clear. So McKenna, we're going to have to figure that out. That's going to be brutal. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Australian Survivor. But yeah, I guess the thing is, like, again, maybe I'm over hypothesizing here. Right. But I feel, and I understand why people were annoyed with Logan or whatever. I saw people on the internet saying that she quit. She did not quit. She did not quit.
But it's at the same time, you're like, releasing these people from making this decision that they don't want, that they think will hurt you or something like that. So at the same time, it's like, I know I can see what you guys want to do. So just do it.
And not for nothing, her pitch was perfect. Like, everybody who's saying, oh, she gave up, she didn't want to be there, blah, blah. No, her pitch to the women was perfect of, these guys are going to beat you. And I will work with you. I'm a loyal number. If you think that you can take them out without me here, then go ahead and vote me out. But I don't think you can do that. It's a perfect pitch, because she's 100% right. And so I do understand where some of the frustrations with Logan come from like maybe just the archetype that she is on the show. But in my opinion, Logan was the last really entertaining player other than Miles and AJ. And look, that might not be the people's fault. That might be the editor's fault. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. For a season that had Rich and Noonan and Nash and Laura and Max, right? It's like, and Kent. For a season that had all of those people.
Remember Kent?
Yeah. For a season that had all of those people, and now we're down to this final six where I really only know 2 of the players well. And like, it's not that I don't know Zara. Like, let's be real. We're getting to know Zara better. But I just feel like Logan was the last, oh man, like I could see what they're doing with the edit here. And now that's gone. Yeah. And Catherine Fenwick says the last few X interviews, they asked who was playing the best game. Most said AJ. They respect his game and hope he wins.
I do want to talk about Kristen a little bit, because I want to give her flowers, because I was down on her. I said she would be the first boot off of the Braun tribe. And I think she played a pretty decent game. She had a few hiccups when she tried to make some moves, but overall, like, so many people liked her. Kaylin was like, all right, we have to get out Kristen because she is this social threat that so many people love her. So I think she did so much better than how I expected her to do.
Yeah, I thought Kristen was pretty solid. I mean, Kristen had a mind for the game. Again, you can't fault people for what the editors decide to put in and leave out, but I think she had a mind for the game. I think she was playing hard the entire time. I thought her relationship with Kalen was pretty interesting. I thought her relationship with the women over there was pretty interesting, but at the end of the day, her back was up against the wall at the rock draw and she didn't push hard enough to try to keep Logan in the game. I think that that's what's probably the most fascinating. And that's the person who probably had the most to lose in the situation.
Yeah.
I think if Kristen sticks with the rock draw and doesn't go home there, she could win the game. Like if Miles or AJ go home there, she could win the game. So that's how you almost have to look at it. If you're Kristen in that moment, yes, my side has a 60% chance of picking a rock. I myself only have a 20% chance of picking a rock. And if AJ or Miles go home here, I now have like an 85% chance of winning the game. You need to start looking at it from all of those number perspectives. If you go out at eighth, you go out at eighth. That sucks. Could have been better. I wouldn't do it. Jessica Lewis did in Survivor Millennials for Gen X. It was too early in the game for that. But in Australian Survivor, you are into the final third of the game and you've been around these people long enough to know what their tendencies are. I think you need to look at all of those percentages. And I think Kristen very well could have won this game because I do think she played a strong game that was ultimately overshadowed just by the chaos that is Miles.
Kristen already kind of showed herself to be toward the bottom because of the Karin incident. So going out via this rock draw or what wound up being next vote really doesn't matter. She should have pushed harder to get that rock draw. And if she does go out via rock draw, well, you know, she went out trying to improve her situation rather than, all right, let's see what happens.
Well, because again, like bringing up the blood versus water example, because I guess that's the last time we've seen a rock draw in US, right? We haven't seen one since then.
Well, I mean, Millennials versus Gen X is after blood versus water.
It's not as impactful. Okay, so blood versus water is the most recent. Blood versus water, yeah, Millennials versus Gen X is obviously more recent, but it's not as impactful. It happens too early. But in blood versus water, that 3v3 realizes, like, if we win this, we're the final three. We will win this game if we get through this. And it's worth it. It's worth the risk, right? Like Tyson sits there and says, this is worth the risk of $1 million.
But it's also whack because Redemption Island, Tyson is willing to do this because he knows he can win Redemption.
True.
Or he has a very strong chance of winning.
And here's Catherine Fenwick coming off of what Hyro said. Kristen didn't know how the rock draw worked. I think production had to explain it to her, Kate Morgan. So like when that's happening, it's hard to get out of this. I mean, that's a very good point. Redemption Island does make it so you're a little bit, but there's only one Redemption Island left, which I guess actually does make it even easier to come back, right? Because you're like, I know that I'm coming back in this one. But yeah, I feel like at that moment, though, they all knew that was the defining moment of the game. And I feel like it was just missed on some of them that this was the defining moment of the game.
Yeah.
And if they don't understand the rules, then you obviously aren't going to be willing to put yourself at risk and have a 1 in 5 chance of going home. But
you could have a 1 in 5 chance of winning.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the gameplay of they're trying to get us to split the votes, which again, Logan was doing a very good job here. And Logan and Kate, they were trying to get them to split the votes. I think it was Kate that AJ ran back and was like, she just lied straight to my face. Everything she just said was a lie. That was Kate.
No, it was Logan told AJ that, and then AJ wanted to tell Kate to vote for Kristen essentially without saying vote for Kristen.
Yeah. And like
throw Logan under the bus saying she was pitching her, but Kate already knew what the plan was.
Yeah. And so like when Logan said that, AJ read it. And then it was just a matter of at this episode, the women were trying to get the votes to be split on the other side so that it could be like a 4-3-2 or 4-2-2 or whatever.
4-2-2, yeah.
And AJ just saw right through it and didn't let it happen. And that's why ultimately ends up in this rock draw. So, I mean, it's solid.
Mayhem happen. He almost did like try and get the other girls on side to vote out. Oh no, it was to vote out Kristen. He started to get all weird, but
yeah. Yeah, that was the one where he started overthinking it for literally no reason. And they were like, why are you? And like,
we have the idol.
He asked Miles, he's like, why did you not like my plan? And Miles was like, because it was stupid. And because I have the idol, we know I have the idol. Keep it simple here. You don't need to be. But AJ is so in the game mode that he can't turn it off. But it's I guess that's the thing with this season of Survivor. It's good gameplay. Like AJ and Miles are unbelievably entertaining. The other players are trying to make game moves that make sense. Mm-hmm. It's just at the end of the day, none of it is really panning out to the point where there's a worthy adversary. So it's becoming predictable. Yeah. Now that could be okay in old school seasons of Survivor when it became predictable. That was fine because that's what Survivor was. In newer seasons of Survivor, that's a detriment because there's so many advantages and twists and whatever that we're used to being like, give me something a little chaotic. Like I said, if we sit down next week and Kate Morgan are the two boots, that's a pretty boring week of Australian Survivor.
Do we give Zara the credit for getting the graduates back together? Because we do have that whole scene of thank God I didn't get picked for that reward, because this is actually more of a reward coming back to camp, because now I can make up ground from last night where I was almost the boot and things like that. So is Zara really the one for getting the band back together then?
That's what it felt like. So for anybody who's wondering what we're talking about here, Kristen wins reward, takes Logan and Morgan with her. So now the other five go back to camp, Kate included. But this is when Zara says, I'm so happy I'm not over there. I can wash my hair later. This is my chance to make my move and get everybody united. And she gets the graduates who are now the postgraduates. Very fancy.
Yes.
And so we have the postgraduates, and the postgraduates are going to work through this game. And that's what the plan is. Again, I think Zara should get the credit for Zara. I keep messing it up, but either way, she should get the credit for bringing them back together. But it's also probably to the
detriment of herself.
Yeah. Yeah. She loses now because of this. Mm.
Anything else?
I mean, it's less episodes. Kaylin just keeps winning immunities. Do you think is Kaylin going to run this all the way to the end? Is he going to set a new record with six? Nobody in Australian Survivor or US Survivor, even with how much longer Australian has, have won six in a single season.
I think he could win one more. Mm-hmm. But do I think he wins out to the end? No, because I think there are things that he is weak at. Like
what? I feel like he's been good at everything.
I mean,
put you on the spot.
He didn't. I'd say he's weaker at balance.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't win. That seemed like it had more to do with weight than balance, if that makes sense. Because he like pushed down.
He lost the ball. Balance one too.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Early too.
So I think balance is Kaylin's weak spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it's just crazy. He keeps winning. Everybody else is just kind of doing their thing.
And like they notice Kaylin winning, but it's at the same time the boys aren't concerned. They're like, let Kaylin win because he's with us, so it doesn't matter.
I think what's helping AJ and Miles too is while Kaylin wins, it reduces the options the other side has. So now it's a little bit more predictable when they are trying to figure out idols and situations like that. The other side can only go after Miles or AJ. They mm-hmm. can't go after Kaylin too. So now you don't have to play it as hard. So it is to their benefit. When can Miles play his idol till? Is it final five or final six?
I want to say it's five, but that's because that's US rules. But
yeah, I'm assuming it's five as well. So if he can play that to final five, I mean, Miles is in the final four, and I would be shocked if AJ's not. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, it seems very predictable to me at this point. But I mean, I'm still enjoying it.
Yes. Really. Yeah. I think this is a very, very good season of AU.
Yeah. I think BVB1 is better, but this is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think BVB1 has some really stupid twists, but I think ultimately it has just like better gameplay overall.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more diversified, I guess, like with the gameplay. It's not just two people who seem like they're running it. Like, I want to know at the end, and then I'll get to this comment, but I want to know, like, what was Morgan's plan when she was playing this game? Like, that's what I want to know. And I have no idea. Right. I have no clue. All right, throw him up.
All right. So AJ did say something of like, oh, shucks, we lost, when it was like the rope, like guiding Zara through the rope and everything like that. I think he did throw it a bit.
Oh, so read the comment out so people who are listening know. John threw in here, do you feel AJ threw the immunity challenge to keep Logan vulnerable? It wasn't mentioned at all except Logan's speculation at the time. So I just wanted to throw that in here so that people who are listening know. But yeah, I mean, they did split into groups of four. And eight, and Logan had no chance of winning immunity after that.
Yeah, I think we saw AJ like mumble under his breath, like, oh shucks. Like it seemed very, oh darn, I didn't know that was gonna happen. That stinks for us, kind of thing.
Well, let me say this though. I don't think that Logan had any chance of winning that last portion anyway. Since when does Logan have a cannon for an arm? Like that thing was pretty far away. So
it would have been AJ, Logan, Zara, and Morgan.
Yeah, AJ wins that.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think he threw that because I think AJ wins that 100%. I mean, unless Logan has some throwing ability that we haven't seen yet on this season, I feel like it's great.
Mm.
Also, people are saying Michelle Goryev here says at Jury Villa, they're pissed at Karin. Yeah, I haven't watched the Karin. I haven't watched the Jury Villa stuff. Maybe I should. I miss Ponderosa so much. God, I really do. Ponderosa is the best.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either.
Yeah. I mean, Valet Boy 21 here says, he said, I'm not even pushing when
that's what it was.
But at the same time, they were so far behind at that point. What difference did it make? They were never coming back from that.
True.
Yeah. Anyway. You have anything else from this episode?
No.
Yay, we did it. All right, cool. Thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Yes, I'm going to have to check out the Jury Villas because I want to see like the behind the scenes. I'm hoping it's Gabon-esque because, man, rewatching Gabon and not being able to watch the Jury Villas, the Ponderosas, because they're not over there anywhere. Such a bummer. Oh, I can't find it on the internet anywhere, but Ponderosa for that season was wild. So yeah, I'm going to be live on Wednesday, obviously, with Will after the episode. We will be talking next episode of Survivor 48. Thursday, Blake and I will be joined by Tegwith. So all three of us on the same podcast for the first time. Tegwith will be over there for that. Thursday, also, McKenna will be doing Amazing Race. Look,
did it, Bill.
Friday, McKenna will be doing Survivor Rewind. And then Saturday, instead of Sunday, I will be live with Gabe from season 47 at noon Eastern time. We're doing a little bit earlier and we're doing it on Saturday before the final four. So that's what we're doing. If you want to be a patron, patreon.com/specialist, we're finishing up Brains vs. Brawn 1 over there. McKenna and I have two more episodes of that left that are going out to there, going out to the patrons. And then I'm diving right into Heroes vs. Villains. So I don't take breaths. I don't stop. That's it. And then Blake, Will, and I are doing
Blood versus Water, or is it
Blood versus Water next?
I think so.
I thought Heroes Villains was next. Oh, you're right. It is Blood versus Water. Okay, Blood versus Water. Good. I still don't take breaths. It's still what I'm doing next. Blake, Will, and I are doing Gabon, and then we have our after shows and all that fun stuff. So go check out Patreon. We're doing so many podcasts. It's so worth your money, I swear. We make it so that it's so worth your money. People don't leave once they show up. So, you know, just check in. Come on, show up. But thank you all so much. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Who you think is going to win? Are we being too harsh here saying that it's easily Miles and AJ? Do you see anything else taking place? Share this video with other people you know that watch Australian Survivor. I feel like a lot of people still don't know that we're doing Australian Survivor coverage. So check that out. Although I do realize that we are at week 7. So this is normally when people are going to be like, I can't keep up with that show anymore. But thank you. And we will see you all next Tuesday at some time. We have to figure out the time, but we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.